This is the Inno the Buzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Welcome to episode number 63 of the Inno the Buzz podcast, designed to help smart businesses with an interest in innovation become even more innovative. In this episode, my guest is James Eder from London in the UK. He's the founder of Causa, an app that helps people connect, and co-founder of Student Beans and the Beans Group. We talked a lot about the challenges of starting up a new business and transforming an idea into a viable and sustainable business model, as well as why it is important to get out of your comfort zone and connect with new people. James is a very impressive and inspiring individual who's on a mission to make a difference in the world by enabling more people to connect, because that's what he says makes the difference, bringing the power of community back into business. In fact, to help him with this mission, we are issuing a challenge today. If you choose to accept this challenge, no, it's not Mission Impossible, you may well get a special prize, as well as the great rewards outlined in the interview that you'll get simply by doing this. So no more suspense right now. Stay tuned later on in the podcast where I'll outline the details of your mission. Don't worry, this tape will not self-destruct in 60 seconds. So without further ado, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from James Eder. Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honoured to have here with me today on this episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast, all the way from London in the UK, James Eder from, he's the founder and chief collision creator, as he calls it, at Causa. Now, he does have an interesting background, and I'm really pleased to have you here today, James. So welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, James actually reached out to us and invited himself to the podcast, so I don't have to give a shout-out to anybody else. A shout-out back to you, James. But I did some research on James, obviously, and I must say you're a very impressive individual. So James, at the age of 22, started what now is the Beans Group, which has grown from an idea to connect brands with tertiary students in 24 countries now, or probably more than that. That was what I read last. And what they do is offer students discount on branded products, and at the same time, they connect brands with what ultimately could become a lifelong loyal fan base. And the Beans Group also runs the marketing business Voxburner, which hosts conferences for brands in major cities like New York, London, Berlin, and Singapore. And recently, so we'll talk about that a little more recently, you've launched the Causa app. So tell us a little bit more. Yeah, tell us a little bit more about, well, first of all, tell us a little bit more about the Beans Group, because I think the history of that and then is relevant to how the Causa app kind of came about, right?
Yeah, definitely. So look, I think what's really interesting is I was 22 and was about to graduate from university, and a lot of friends and kind of family were kind of saying, oh, you know, you're too young to set up a business, you don't have experience, how can you possibly manage people, and all of these different challenges. And fortunately, some were more supportive than others, including my parents, who were absolutely brilliant. And I think the context was, yeah, absolutely, how can we help students save money and how we can help businesses kind of promote to university students? And bearing in mind, this is almost 12 years ago now, almost, back in 2005. And it was, the original premise was getting people kind of offline, online, and then offline again. And we didn't rely on any paid search, we didn't rely on any kind of Facebook ads or anything at the time. It was very much about kind of building a brand. And I think there's a common phrase that people say, like, do things that don't scale, and kind of in terms of doing the hustle and starting. And I literally went door to door, both on the company side. I knocked on doors and I went into shops and services and restaurants, etc. And then in the daytime as well, went to students and lectures and standing in the right places on student campuses, getting excited about this idea of how we can help you save money and how we can help businesses grow. And just from grassroots back in 2005, we signed up 15,000 users, and then 50,000 users in the second year, and then 150,000 users. And since we started, we've signed up, and it's going over 3 million users now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, I look back and it's interesting starting again on this new venture 11 years on and thinking, you know, it's just the beginning again. And at the same time, they're doing so well. And it's great to hear and the kind of the foundations that we built, but it was really difficult. And I think the kind of a couple of scenarios that kind of led into then Causa today, one of them is actually sitting on the underground in London, and which we know is not necessarily the friendliest of places if listeners have been to London. But I broke all norms of social convention and saw someone with a CV in their hand sitting next to me. So I just turned to him and said, "Are you looking for a job?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Have you heard of Student Beans?" He said, "Yes, I've just graduated from Durham." I said, "Look, I'm the founder. I'm getting off at the next stop, but if you want to give me your CV, if there's an opportunity, I'll give you a call." So he gave me his CV. I called him up. He came in for an interview, interviewed really well. And at the end of the interview, he goes, "Are you guys publishing a book?" And at the time, we were looking to publish a book around actually student cooking and helping students cook. And I said, "Yeah, but how do you know that? Because we've not published it yet." And he said, "Oh, my girlfriend from Durham Uni is working at the publishing company on your book deal." So suffice to say, he ended up getting a job with us, and you know, it got me thinking that what stops a lot of those conversations and types of connection happening, because often we don't say anything and we just kind of carry on in our daily lives.
That's right. Well, yeah, it's like you get into an elevator and everybody looks at the wall or the ceiling.
Absolutely. Do you have a story? Do you have any stories like that in terms of like serendipity, or that you've met someone, people in that kind of scenario?
I can't really think of one off the top of my head, but there's often, you know, there's often times when I think that was meant to happen, you know, and you reflect back and say, well, something, it's a little bit like your story where, you know, you failed at something and you were devastated at the time, but then years later, well, actually, first of all, you went and did something else that was a huge success as a result, but also years later that came back and ended up being another opportunity. So it's kind of like, okay, that wasn't the right time, so it came back later. So I've got a few like that,
definitely. And I think, like, building on that story, I guess I was then in the office speaking to a colleague about a Virgin company called Virgin Activity Days, which is powered by another company called Acorn. And I said, like, really, we need to speak to someone from Acorn. It would be great to build a partnership with them. And 10 minutes later, I'm standing there on Golden Screen platform. I can't hear something over the tannoy. So I turned to the guy next to me, and I showed a version of the story. He ended up coming, being the exact person that I needed to meet. And that was within 10 minutes of that original kind of conversation, saying, "This is who I need to meet." And so again, like, what stops those conversations? And I guess the third thing was then ended up traveling a huge amount for work and being often in scenarios where I'm by myself eating dinner, thinking there must be a better way of how we can help people connect instead of eating by myself. Maybe there are other people nearby that I could eat with and connect with, whether that would be waiting in an airport or indeed in destination, perhaps before attending a conference or event, it'd be really useful to connect. And if I take a step back, I guess, though, before you spoke about kind of a moment of failure, before I graduated, I ended up applying for a job for an organization called ISEC, which was a global student organization. And they'd invested a huge amount in me, and I ended up going to the Philippines and Colombia on work placements. And when I graduated, I really, like, wanted to make a difference and add value, and ended up standing for an election for something where there were 10 of us standing for 5 positions. And in that moment, I didn't get that job. And it was really, you know, most of the time when we apply for jobs, we don't know if we don't necessarily hear, or we get a letter in the post or an email telling us. This was a very public display of failure. There were 300 people in the room, and a jug of water, it sounds very fraternity, a jug of water was dropped over the successful candidates. So there I am standing there in front of my closest friends. And in that, I guess it was a moment of failure, and really thinking, what is it that I want to do? And another phrase like failure can't exist with persistence. And I think that scares people sometimes or confuses people. It's like, well, I did fail in that moment. But I guess if you take a step back and perhaps, you know, listeners presented with these challenges, is what, you know, what do you really want to do? What do you really want to achieve? And can you achieve that by doing something else perhaps? And I think that was a really powerful sentiment for me. And the other thing that happened there, a friend of mine bought me a book called The Naked Leader by a guy called David Taylor. And in the book, it had a very simple yet powerful message. Imagine if you couldn't fail. Hmm. Who would you be? Where would you go? And what would you do? And for me, that was like the, you know, despite certain friends saying I couldn't do it and I was too young and all of this, I thought I have to go and set up this business. And if it's not going to fail, this is what I've got to do. And for the same reasons then why I had to create Causa was, you know, 10 years into to Student Beans and the Beans Group, there was so much that we'd done really well. And I, as a founder, I think running a company and setting it up are two such different things. And I think that's the founder syndrome. Often you maybe stay longer than you should be there. And, you know, recruiting people that are better than you and helping provide, you know, structure to allow the team to grow. And, you know, fortunately, I co-founded that business with my brother. So he was very much, you know, from a trust, I was able to like trust him to know that he wants to do the best for the business and that it was the right thing for me at the time. And I absolutely believe in that. And I am so, you know, excited and you know, if I embrace that, I was speaking at events thinking, sharing this message, imagine if you couldn't fail. And then inside of me, I felt like I had an idea, again, I had to bring into the world that I was stopping myself. And that was, you know, important for me to go and explore and discover. And I'm still on that journey, as it were, yeah, to discovering what the next stage is.
Yeah, there's so many things to like about that story, what you've just said there. And of course, the things that I've read in the meantime, I've been actually doing a little bit of research all day today, so it's late in the afternoon for me. And I've been looking forward to this interview all day. So, you know, there's a chap here who started off the Beechworth Bakery and now, you know, that's franchised around, hugely successful business. He's sold the business, or he's still a part owner, but he does speaking and motivational speeches. He's a very funny guy, but one of the things he says, you know, he's very insightful as well. One of the things he says is, you know, beware the naysayers and don't let the dream takers take your dreams away. So I think there's, you know, there's a similar message in what you're saying, in that, you know, people have said, well, you're too young and you can't start that up, and you ignored them and went ahead anyway. So there's a level of self-belief, and then the story of looking at things that happen to you and seeing opportunities in that, and then building out those opportunities with that mindset of what if you can't fail?
Absolutely.
So I love it. So were you always that entrepreneurial or adventurous as a young kid?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think in England, we used to have something called Blue Peter, which we still have, and they had these bring and buy sales where you could kind of bring stuff and sell stuff. And I think that was kind of almost a little bit ingrained in me. And then I did, when I was 13, we set up M&J Photos, which is actually like the first, I guess, venture with my brother, where we took photos of the dogs in the park and then went back the following week and sold the pictures of the dogs to the owner. And this is before,
Before digital, right?
I was going to say before digital, before everyone had a camera on their phone. And, you know, that was, again, a learning experience. And I ended up taking photos when it was a really snowy day and it was really beautiful, but then trying to develop the film myself in a dark room, and the negatives went wrong. And I just didn't have the patience for it. So it's one of those kind of like, oh, you know, got distracted and moved on moments. But and then when I was 17, did something called Young Enterprise in England, where we, it was 1999, and we created a website called Need a Number, which was a web directory service. So all of these like experiences, I guess my favorite like tagline, you know, learning by doing. And, you know, so many people contact me nowadays asking me for mentoring and for feedback on their idea and should they do it. And it's just, you know, the most technical people and, you know, educators or learners, I guess, it's great, but there's a very much disconnect between how you learn about something and actually by going out and doing it and the learnings that you get, even if it doesn't work. I think it's about learning and making decisions and moving forward. And, you know, life's a journey, I guess, and people forget.
That's right, yeah. And it's not going to wait around, is it?
Absolutely.
So Causa then, because we kind of only glossed over it so far, Causa is an app that helps create connections between people that are on the go. It's for professionals. And I think it's like works on a proximity thing, but tell us a little bit more about Causa in terms of how it works and what you've learned out of the launch. I think it's on iTunes, but I just registered for the Android app, so I'm looking forward to trying it out myself.
So, look, I think what's interesting is, you know, the phrase earlier where I said, like, what stops often those opportunities happening while connecting with people nearby, and whether that be randomly on the train or on the, even at work, there are so many offices and silos and people kind of just sit there in their little bubbles, and they don't connect. And so what, there were kind of three core pillars that we really kind of identified. And the first one is permission. So often we don't feel like we've got permission just to randomly, and I know you Australians are much more friendly perhaps than we are traditionally or perception wise, but we are friendly once you break the ice. So I think that's the key thing, is like, when, what's the thing that stops us? Firstly is permission. And the second one is confidence. And I think if you think about it, like when you attend, maybe listeners, you're attending like a networking event, in theory, you've all got permission to speak to each other much more than you do. I guess it's a safer environment than the random out in the street, as it were.
Yeah.
But yet some people will leave having met lots of people in the room, and other people will leave only having met a few people. And that's partly, you know, look, we all, I know there's some great TED talks about the power of the introverts, and listen to me, you're probably going, you know, I'm not probably a very introverted person, but this, I guess, confidence builds over time. And so the second thing is confidence in terms of kind of one of the challenge of what stops people. And the third thing is context. And I think context is a really interesting one, because if I knew I was sitting next to an entrepreneur that had already set up a business, or I was sitting next to, I'm even going to say even an accountant or even a recruiter, who I generally do not work with recruiters, unfortunately. But even if there's a moment where I actually am sitting in proximity, I would be more open to having a conversation with that person just to find out, or to, you know, if they cold called or cold email me, I'd probably be much more reserved. But if I had also the context, so whether that be mentioned another entrepreneur or an investor, I just had that bit of information, I'd be more confident because I knew what to say, which would be like, oh, hey, are you an investor? I've actually running a startup. Would you mind having a chat? And also they probably get bombarded all the time. So in this scenario, it might be interesting, and they might take that meeting or have that conversation, which otherwise they wouldn't. And I think that's like the really like the three key pillars. So just to repeat them again, it's permission, confidence, and context. And so then the idea was, how can we create an app that enables people? And ultimately, by being on the app, you're giving people permission, because people won't be on the app unless they're interested in connecting. From a confidence perspective, it's like ultimately using technology to enable a face-to-face connection that otherwise you wouldn't necessarily have the confidence to say. And I do this all the time still, despite my kind of outgoingness and speaking to people. There's still so many situations where I kind of sit thinking, oh, what should I say? I don't know. And what happens if other people hear me? And, you know, the last time, most recently, I was flying through an airport and I landed, and I was waiting for passport control. You know, these lines, you're just waiting and waiting. Yeah. The perfect opportunity, though, in my mind, to go, you know, to test my assumption. So start talking to the guy next to me. Oh, hey, do you mind if I show you a demo? I'm working on this new thing. And he's sure. And I showed him. He's like, oh, this is brilliant. I'm often waiting at airports because I fly in for a meeting at in a company, and then I go straight back to the airport. And even if I've got 4 hours till my flight, there's no point me going and exploring the city, because otherwise I might miss my flight. So and I was so anxious about saying something to him because of the fear that other people in the line would laugh at me or would say something, or would, you know. And actually, when I've been doing it, more often than not, other people have said, oh, that's a great idea, or oh, and start chipping into the conversation. So, you know, that's the premise behind the app. And instead of being another digital network and curated online, it's actually about using proximity. So you download the app and you can log in using LinkedIn. So it pulls your name, your job title, and it gives other people a bit of context about you. So that's like the first piece of context. The second piece of context actually is you can update your status to let others know, you know, what you're looking for, but also how you can help. And I think this is really key around creating a community that really like enables people to connect authentically and in a way that can be really useful for one another. So, you know, if I knew someone else nearby was looking for help, they're starting a new company and wanted mentoring, or indeed I'm recruiting currently for a technical co-founder, you know, those are things that I may have passed the key person that I would never have known, and they wouldn't know that I'm looking. So that's the second key piece of context. And the third thing is about joining groups. So you can join a group. So we've actually got one for Australian entrepreneurs, for example, or you've got ones for marathon running, and it transcends social business. So we've also got ones for big companies and organizations. And if there's not a group there that you can see that you want to join, you can then request a group and we'll curate those for you. So those are the three big pieces of context that give people and enable people to connect. And then very simply on the app, you log in, as I said, with LinkedIn, you can see who's nearby, and then you request to connect with people. And within the app, you can chat. And then the idea is because you're, you know, close to each other, the opportunity is to meet and connect and collaborate. And that could be just to share a coffee and a one-off thing, or it could be to do a business deal or recruit someone. And yeah, that's the premise. And we've already had someone do £500,000 business deal as a result of using the app. And it just goes to show, you know, it's weird, the early days, but it's so exciting to hear that feedback. People creating connections.
Yeah, that's a great story that, you know, the big business deal that's closed. And I like your your story about standing in the queues of the airlines and so on, because when I was in my corporate role, I spent probably 25 years traveling the world, about a third of the year traveling the world. And I kept, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, you've got a great lifestyle. You know, you travel all these different countries, get to see all these different places. And my retort was always, yeah, but I think of all this time I spend standing in queues at airports and taxi queues and check-in queues for hotels and checkout and so on. And I think, gee, with an app like that, you know, because the other people standing in those queues, probably 80% of them are business people as well. So, you know, connecting with them and having that permission to have a conversation to start off a relationship would be great.
Absolutely. And I think that's what, like, whilst I can share the stories of the known connections and opportunities that have happened, I'm sure, obviously, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of connections or misconnections, not just for myself, but for listeners, for everyone. And I think, you know, because the context is so powerful, I think a lot of people are quite afraid, and because people don't know just a little bit and just a bit of context of, you know, the people nearby. And I think that's, you know, the challenges in the world today is, you know, community is missing and has lost a lot of what it used to have. And so, yeah, I'm on a bit of a mission to bring that back and make a difference.
Yeah, that's great. And I was just listening earlier today to a speech you gave, I guess, a couple of years ago at Birmingham University. It was a graduation speech, and you emphasized how important it was to ask for help. You know, if you're going out and doing something, ask for help. You can't do everything yourself. And so this is kind of a way to connect with people that might be able to help you. So it's, you know, you've got your network of people, you know, your family, your friends, business associates that you can ask for help. But, you know, if you need something outside of that network, expertise or knowledge outside of that, then this might be a way to actually broaden that.
Definitely. Yeah.
So I really like it. So Causa is available on the iTunes App Store, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes so that those people that use an iPhone, or I guess it probably works, so I'm showing my ignorance here, I guess it probably works on the iPad as well. You can download it and use it.
Absolutely, download it on the iPad. Interestingly, you need to make sure you select not just iPad only, because at the moment it's optimized for the iPhone. Okay. And just so that I can put your listeners at ease, why is it only on the iPhone just yet?
Well, that was going to be my next question, because being an Android user.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So look, the reason why is we had originally a web app, and 80% of our test users were originally on iPhones. So that's one reason. And you know, the other thing I think around development, and we secured a round of angel funding back in April, and I think, you know, it's launching something, and I think every innovator in their mind thinks this is it. This is going to be how it's work. And I think it's about learning and iterating. So we put out a product. People are using it. That's been a great feedback loop. And so it is something definitely that we do want to launch soon. And it's definitely kind of in the pipeline and it's on the roadmap. But it's so bear with us. and you've got a friend that's got an iPhone, beg, borrow, and ask you or ask them to sign up, because that also really helps. And hopefully we'll be there soon. But as you've already done, you can go and pre-register. If you go on to causa.co, and if you pre-register and put your email address in there, that actually also helps from an investor perspective to say, look, we've already got X number of people say they want it on Android. And so that also helps in terms of the next journey and that story.
So I definitely encourage listeners that are on the Apple platforms to download the app and try it out, see what you think of it. I'd be interested to hear the feedback from users, and those that, like me, are on Android, sign up in the website that we'll link to. So it's causa.com, but we'll link to that in the show notes and put your email in there to register your interest. As James says, that's all going to help to get funding. So I was interested, because it is a free app, right?
Yes.
So I was interested in what's your revenue generating model, and, you know, how you're going to sustain it in the long term.
Absolutely. So yeah, look, I think what's really key, I know, I think one of the things we were speaking about for the call is just around like what differentiates, or like from a leadership, how can you successfully like lead a successful business. And I think, you know, the focus from Student Beans came from start with the user in mind and really focus on like what adds value. And then, you know, the opportunities for monetization will come. And I think the same is within Causa around opportunities. Look, we really want to add value and make a difference. And it's worth saying like our vision is to create millions of meaningful connections for people nearby all around the world every day. And for me, it's how can we do that? And obviously do that in a sustainable way. And sustainably does mean like a number of opportunities around, we're looking to introduce like a premium, so a free and a premium version. And again, in terms of exactly what features will be shown, it will be up to the users in terms of from a value proposition of like the things that they found more useful that we can then help out. So one of them, for example, is filtering. And at the moment, we're very much focused around serendipity and wanting to not do a search function. Interestingly, we've got the different tags. So for example, if you click on Australian entrepreneurs, it will then show you who's nearby, who's interested in that ecosystem, or indeed Australian entrepreneurs. So there is a filtering of sorts, but you can't, for example, say, I only want to see CEOs, or I only want to see people in marketing, etc. So that's just a glimpse of some of the things, but the business model is kind of very clear from that. There are also other like innovative forms of kind of advertising, but obviously we kind of want to stay away. You can see the app today is very clean and clear. But those are kind of the suggestions of where we're going to go. But it's starting with the user in mind, because without that, you know, if people aren't using it, then that's not, you know, we're not going to get very far. So.
Yeah. So that's a little bit like the LinkedIn model, I guess.
Yeah, there are definitely similarities to that. And I think, you know, we're very clear on today, we don't want to be another feed that you need to check, or, you know, a full LinkedIn profile or anything like that. It's about, the utility. And as I said, giving people those kind of headlines, context very quickly, and who's near you now. So, yeah. But I think, fortunately, we're not, you know, there are tried and proven business models out there. That's not to say it's easy, because it's definitely not. and, you know, the world of free that has been curated for us, it's difficult to kind of push past that. But I think I'm confident that there is definitely an opportunity for us to get there.
Hmm. That's great. Well, so what do you see as the biggest trap or the biggest hurdle that innovators encounter when they come up with ideas like this and they're trying to sell them or trying to get funding as you've been doing for Causa?
Yeah, I think that the biggest challenge, I guess if you don't have my experience, I think doing it again the second time is like, okay, what's the next step? What's the action? What's the thing that I can do that can help move this forward? And I think a lot of people get trapped in a world of, oh, I've tried or I've done this or I've, you know, and it's kind of too overwhelming and it's too big a task. And so I really think it is about taking a step back and thinking, okay, you know, what can I do today? What's the emphasis? What are the inputs that I can do that will get me closer to where I want to be? And I don't know about you, but sometimes you do things and you think you've said it a lot or you've tried to do it a lot. But actually, if you look back, maybe you've only sent one email and you've just thought about it a lot. And so every day you think, oh God, they've not responded. But actually you go back and look and go, well, actually I need to send one message.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, whether it be an email or a phone call or, you know, the thing is I as an entrepreneur, always thinking about Causa and what we're doing, moving it forward and what can be done. And it's just not that important for other people. So it's just not on their frame every second of the day. And I've had a few things where, you know, I've been speaking to community organizers and event organizers and, you know, think that this is a great app that we can help communities connect for existing communities. That's the other thing from a listener's perspective. If you've got a community that you want to help connect, imagine if you were sitting again on that bus stop, or you're waiting for a flight out of Melbourne or Sydney. And if you knew that someone else nearby was also from your community, would that be a really interesting conversation? And if it is, then that's the type of community that we'd love to help connect. And that could be an alumni network, or that could be a big organization. You said, you know, when you were traveling, there could be, I'm sure, people from your same company nearby that you could have then ended up sharing the taxi with. Then, you know, instead of eating dinner by yourself, you could have connected with people. And, you know, that is an amazingly, like, it's an opportunity there to be had. And how can I, like, start that? And so from an innovation perspective, just breaking it down and go like, what's the next action? What's the next thing I can do to help move this forward?
That may well be, you know, I could imagine that might well be the quicker uptake one, perhaps. You know, we're all on these groups in LinkedIn or in Facebook. We have conversations online there, and you know, I've seen this actually happen. You know, where somebody, in particular in Facebook, where somebody then in private posts something on, where they were at some event or so on, and another person in that same group will come back saying, oh my God, you were at that event. If I'd only known, I would have connected and we could have met in person and so on. You know, so that's something that Causa could then bring about.
Absolutely. And I think what's so interesting, though, speaking to a lot of communities at the moment, is they're like, well, why is this different from Slack? Why is this different from Facebook? Why is this different? And I think, you know, clearly the difference is the location piece. And it's about then helping people realize, you know, those opportunities and connecting and making it very easy to do that. So we're not trying to replicate, you know, any of those other platforms. It's just being an additional, like a really useful function. And it's trying to, like, we don't have a feed, as I said, as an event or community organizer. You don't need to update, you know, anything for your community. It's just about really enabling them to connect face to face. And that's like really key.
It's kind of an add-on. Yeah. Almost like an add-on to the communities that are already in place on Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever they might be, right? Or, absolutely. You know, as you say, the big global conglomerates or big companies where, you know, like I was for 20 odd years, where people are traveling all the time. I bumped into people in the airport that I knew, but I would venture to guess that there were probably, for every person that I bumped in that I knew in sort of remote airport, there were probably half a dozen others from the same company that I hadn't met before, or perhaps knew from email exchanges or whatever, but didn't know in person.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
All right. This has been really terrific, James. I think it's time we moved on to the buzz, which is our innovation round. And it's designed to help our audience who are, you know, they're all innovators and leaders in their field, and give them some tips from your experience. So I'm going to ask a series of five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers. I'm sure you will. That'll inspire everyone and help them do something awesome.
Cool. I'll do what I can.
So what's the number one thing you think that anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
So I think, you'll see a theme here, but I think it's about speaking to different people that you wouldn't normally talk to. because I think everyone's got a different world perspective and different frame of mind, different mindset. And I think when we're surrounded by the same people, you know, all the time, I think it's difficult to get those different perspectives and take inspiration from, you know, anywhere. And in terms of having permission, you know, with or without the app, you know, you can blame me for any conversation. You can go up to someone and if you're waiting in line for dinner tonight or for lunch tomorrow, or you're at work and you know, go and speak to their different department, or go up and just say, hey, I was listening to a podcast and the person on the other end said, from London, said, you know, I should just go and speak to one new person a day. Yeah. So that's what I'm, do you mind if I speak to you? And I promise you, like, that will open up doors and opportunities, and I look forward to hearing all about them. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's about just going out there and, you know, being brave and just trying and breaking the ice and see where it goes, and don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's great. That's great advice, and getting different perspectives to what you'd normally get, different inputs and so on, differently expands your horizon and certainly can prompt new ideas and so on. So I love that. So I'm just, the thought went through my mind there. You know, I was participating a while ago on a 30-day Facebook Live challenge when Facebook Live first came out, and the idea was around, you know, building a habit. If you do it 30 days in a row, you get to know the thing and you build that habit and you do it more and more. So I'm wondering whether we should, as a result of this podcast, call out the 30-day speak to a new person a day challenge.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So we might do that. All right. Cool. So what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
Look, I think it's got to be related as well. Like speaking to people, like when I was, again, the scenarios I was on a holiday, I'll give you another one, on holiday in Croatia, in Hvar, sunset. We were in a place called the Hula Hula Bar, and the sunset's coming down and we're having drinks. And I met someone who worked for an agency down in Bristol, which is a few hours from London. And a few years later, she ended up messaging me on LinkedIn saying, you know, it was great to talk then. And, you know, are you available to come and run a session for our company about entrepreneurship and getting into the headspace of an entrepreneur? Mm-hmm. And so it then led me, you know, and I charged for that. And it, put it this way, more than paid for the holiday, which was great. But I think that, you know, actually, and other people I've heard say this, which is great, is actually, by teaching, you learn a lot. Yeah. And by putting myself, so I had to put together, you know, I ended up, it was meant to be a 2-hour session, but I think I had enough content for 2 days that I could have run. And it was just amazing. And it was just, I was so passionate. I care so much about the subject of entrepreneurship and enterprise and helping other people kind of realize what it is they can do. And so, yeah, I just went and I delivered, and the feedback still years later, I've met some of the teams, people that were in that session, and they're like, it was one of the best external sessions we've ever had. So, you know, I would say to listeners, it's about, you know, challenging yourself to teach someone something will then, you know, almost put for whatever it is you're doing and to be kind of more innovative and to learn. So, yeah, teach.
Yeah, great advice. Yeah. Yeah, I did, a couple of my mentors actually say that quite a lot, that, you know, if you think you know something, if you want to learn more about something that you know a little bit about, then teach it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool.
All All right. So do you have a favorite tool or system for improving your own productivity and allowing you to be more innovative?
So, I mean, the key one that just springs immediately to mind is Getting Things Done by a guy called David Allen.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
You know him? You're familiar?
Oh, I'm familiar with that. Yeah, I discovered that. Oh, when did I discover that? Must have been the early 90s, maybe even before that. So it was very new. It wasn't as popular as it definitely is today. There weren't a lot of computer tools around in those days. So, I read the book and I thought, this is brilliant.
Yeah. So, yeah, a friend of mine, someone at my old company introduced us to it, and I ended up fortunately meeting David, and unbelievably inspiring kind of journey and story, but like really tangibly helping on a day-to-day basis. And one of just a quick, I guess, life hack or something that people aren't familiar with, and there are different ways of doing it, but for me, I've got a waiting for folder in my inbox. So often what happens is, you know, you send an email out to someone and you kind of remove from your to-do list in your mind, and then you carry on with your day and what you're doing. And then whether it be weeks or months later, you're like, oh, I sent that email, but they didn't come back to me. Mm. And, you know, you've kind of forget because it's gone off your plate. So a very simple thing is just send yourself the email when you send it and put it in a folder called waiting for. And then whatever, say once a week, you just go through that folder and see if you're still waiting for that email. And so when it comes back into your inbox, you can see, and this is using Gmail, but lots of other accounts have got similar kind of systems, mm. that you can see you were waiting for it. That's one thing. But also if they haven't responded, then you can just do a quick follow up. And it's just so useful, and it's just meant that, you know, there's things that have just been captured and done and moved forward just so much more efficiently. And that's just kind of one of the kind of quick tricks, I guess, from it. That's, it's really made a difference, with email being such a big part of everything that I need to do.
Yeah, and it's great advice. And I guess the philosophy of Getting Things Done by David Allen is kind of try to capture this. So email's a good analogy, because typically people get, I don't know, hundreds of emails every day. They let it build up in their inbox, and the inbox kind of becomes a to-do list that just grows out of control. And you see this massive inbox and you get overwhelmed. So you end up missing important stuff. So the idea of, and you know, you can transfer that into a physical paper or a to-do list or whatever you might be using to get organized in various aspects of your life. So the idea of David Allen is to get things out of that inbox and put them in places that will pop up when you need them, not before. So then your mind's free to actually do the things that are important right now. So that's
absolutely,
yeah, that's great really advice.
Cool.
All right. So what's the best way, you know, to keep a project on track?
I think it's about, you know, looking what's the goal. And, you know, I think it's the seven habits of highly effective people. I think one of them is start with the end in mind.
Mm.
And, you know, I think that's really, really key. That's by Jim Collins. And it's, yeah, just if you start with the end in mind, where you want to go, and look, launching Causer in the way that we've done over the last few months, like, it's really challenging, and it's thinking then what are the input goals, as opposed to the vanity metrics or numbers. It's like, what are the things that I can do today? So you could relate to that. So if you're a writer and you want to get a certain amount of page impressions, you know, it's about thinking, okay, I want to do, if I write one article, that will get me 1,000 page views. So therefore, if I want 10,000 page views, I need to write 10 articles. And it's like, what are the input figures and things that you can do to make those type of things happen? And I think one of the challenges from a startup perspective is there are so many things that you could do and you just don't know. So it's about failing fast, and it's about doing things and testing things and seeing what works and what doesn't. And then moving on. But I think, you know, going back to questions, having a clear what does good look like, and have a clear end in mind of what it is, and then work towards that.
Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah, start with the end in mind. I love that. I say that all the time. In fact, I had a phone conversation this afternoon about somebody asked me, you know, I want to set up a landing page. And I said, well, what's the end goal of the landing page? What do you want happen right at the end? And then ultimately we figured out that in 12 months' time, she's going to launch some online training and she wants to start building a list of that. So I said, okay, well, let's work backwards from there. What are the steps? Because that landing page is just one of the steps and we'll figure out that out. But yeah, that's great to keep that end in mind then as you move forward. And as you mentioned, you know, the entrepreneurial style, of course, is kind of launch early and fail fast so that you can make the adjustments towards that end quickly. All right. Finally, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
I think it is about being authentic. It's about being yourself. And I think, you know, it's very kind for you to allow me onto the show and invite me on to speak and share, I guess, my story. And I think, you know, the emphasis, it's you know, for listeners listening, it's your story, it's your life, it's what you've achieved and what you've done. It's all those different experiences that add up to make you who you are. And I think the day that you forget that and you try and be someone else or you try and do something else, it's, you know, to be more you, I think is key. And I did a leadership program a few years ago, and one of the things that they were talking about was not to go on to change yourself or to improve yourself, but just to be more you and to be more confident in you. And, you know, I think that's easier said than done, but I think, you know, we've all got our own story. And I think that's, you know, every day we create that as well. And so just to embrace that and to play to your strengths, and you'll do just fine.
Okay. Great advice. Yeah. And very articulately put as well. I've had quite a few guests say be yourself, but I think, you know, you've encapsulated a lot of things there about, you know, having the confidence to share your story, because everybody has unique experiences and unique adventures and unique achievements that others can learn from. And I think that, you know, having the confidence that you've actually got something that others are interested in and others can learn from and sharing that is important.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, it's finding also, it's interesting, your followers. It's like your tribe, your people that resonate with what you're doing. Like there are some people that just will not be interested in what you're doing, and that's okay.
That's right.
There's no point, you know, maybe they'll be convinced later on, but actually, and that's what's so exciting about Causa and what we've created is just finding this amazing network of people, literally, you know, all over the world. And I know at the moment, you know, there's a scattering, there's people, we've been approached by people in Kenya and New Zealand and Australia. And, you know, it's so awesome to know that we have created something, and we still obviously need more people and we're growing and it's just the beginning. But it is that feeling of creating something that hopefully other people want, and that belief that we are, you know, the focus, the end of mind, creating meaningful connections and making a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. It reminds me of something that I've got in my list of one-line quotes, and I'm not sure. I heard somebody casually throw this away somewhere, and I don't remember who it was, so I'm going to claim it as mine. And it's basically get in front of an audience that cares. So, you know, I use that a lot when, you know, the classic conversation I had recently in a podcast around getting to number one on Google for a particular search term, and quite often that search term doesn't actually reach the right audience, you know, the audience that you can help or the audience that have the need that you really have the solution for. So I often use it there.
Definitely. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. All right. So what do you see as the future for Causa and for the Beans Group and for yourself as well? I'm sure you've probably got heaps of ideas and new things that you're keen to try out.
Sure. So the future, I guess, starting with where I started, I guess, the Beans Group and Student Beans, like it's so awesome to see, you know, what they're doing and growing. And
so you still hang Are you still hands-on in that company, or are you completely hands-off?
No, so I'm so fortunate. Again, my co-founder and brother, Michael, yeah, is just running day-to-day and making some amazing things happen. They just were over in New York, setting up a New York office, mm-hmm, and so exciting kind of to see what they're doing. And I think there's just so much more. We, as you mentioned, we're in over 20 countries, and one of the things that the company's evolved into is a technology around student verification. So we can now verify in real time that a student is a student, and that takes place on the retailer's website. So as we're growing, you know, they're just looking to grow more partnerships and opportunities there, which is really exciting. And we've also got you mentioned Voxburner that does conferences. We've got a big event in London in March. Be over 1,000 kind of marketeers from around the world that fly in to connect, to learn, and to understand more about this kind of amazing, malleable, moving marketplace of kind of Generation Y, Z, and so on. So that's kind of really cool, and again, so proud of what they're doing. And it's you know, I'm in the office sometimes hearing cheers of success and every time they do a deal, and it's kind of a really, really great buzz. And even though I'm not involved at all day to day, it's you know, great privilege to know that it's in safe hands and they're doing fantastically well. Yeah, look, for Causa, you know, I shared our vision around creating these millions of meaningful connections, and there's so much more that we want to do. And I've mentioned, obviously, the Android version coming out later this year, our next round of investment, and we're looking to secure as well this year. And, you know, and it's maybe worth noting, like in our previous business, we didn't get any funding originally, and we still to date didn't raise any money. So anyone like worried about thinking, oh, you need, you know, a huge amount, it's not easy, but you know, if you focus on adding value and making a difference, like, it is possible. And that business now employs over 30 people full time. Mm. So, you know, that you know, what's possible. And for Causa taking that different journey and getting our initial round of investors and then looking for that to continue, it's a steep learning curve and it's a challenge. But I think, you know, for us, it's how can we help these existing communities connect? And I think that's our biggest, you know, opportunity. And we're speaking to airlines at the moment about helping their passengers connect. Mm. We're speaking to hotel groups about how we can help, you know, think how many people from the same company are staying in hotels at the same time. How can we help that? So, you know, again, anyone listening that is interested, that wants to help me on that journey, you know, please feel free to be in touch.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me personally, then, I guess there's this thread and stream about like legacy and making a difference and adding value. And it is around community and the essence of what we're doing. And, you know, as long as I can get up every morning and know that I'm contributing and making the biggest difference that I can, then that's what keeps me going. And that's, you know, the reason for leaving day to day, you know, a growing business. My first company was because I thought, you know, running it and setting it up are two very different things. And so I really want to create something new that I believe in. And I know, like, I'm doing 100% what I'm meant to be doing right here. And I know you spoke with Michael Gerber a few weeks ago now around, you know, purpose and passion and finding something, you know, that this is what you're here to do. And that's what I believe. I'm in this moment, and, you know, there are lots of challenges and lots of reasons why it won't succeed, but, you know, there's a real kind of intent around how we can add value and make a difference. And if we can do that, hopefully, you know, I look forward to sharing more stories with you in the future.
That's great. Yeah. I look forward to keeping in touch and seeing how that develops. So what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner then that wants to be a leader in innovation and in their field?
To be a leader in innovation, I think someone said to me this recently, anyone that says they've got like a product roadmap or they know what they're doing is lying. what you need to do is you've got a list of experiments and you just need to work through them as quickly and methodically as possible and try and test and see what works. And, you know, there's a list of things that we want to do with Causa that, you know, I think are going to work, I believe in. And, you know, it's just, it's a case about working through them. So, you know, fail fast, keep going. And, you know, I'm confident that if you start, you know, with the user, you need to speak to users, get out. The other thing though, I turn to speaking to users, I'm going to disclaimer that, go, you know what, people don't tell you what they want. And so it's actually about doing experiments and testing and seeing how they use it and then how they share it and what they talk about, because that's where you'll get the biggest insight, not going to them. And it's just like the analogy, if said Ford went and asked people what car wanted, and they'd say, I want a faster horse. And I think that for me, you know, is really, really key. And, you know, it's about educating people and allowing people and giving them choices and then seeing what they do with it. Which, you know, I'm not a huge fan of a lot of market research per se. And, you know, I'm still so excited about what I'm doing because there's just so much interest and opportunity and, you know, people and communities. And I'm still challenging myself. I flew back from Barcelona last weekend, and on the waiting in the airport, I met a couple of pilots, showed them what I was doing. They were like, oh, this is brilliant. And then another person, passenger, waiting in line to get on the airplane. And they were just like, this is amazing. I used to work for this bank and we were traveling, and I would often be in cities by myself. Again, you know, people relate to that story. So there's got to be something in what I'm doing. That's I just like, there are too many people that keep
exactly
saying, as I
said earlier, you know, I spent so much of my life standing in queues in airports and hotel lobbies and whatever else, and you know, there's hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions, doing that every day around the world. So, you know, it's got to be something that's attractive to at least a small part of that group.
And hopefully a big part.
Yeah. Well, some people don't want to talk to anybody else, but that's their choice. All right. Well, thank you, James. This has been really great. This is fabulous. And, you know, I will post a lot of links to some of the things I found online about you, if that's all right, to share with people, because I think your journey and some of the things, some of the video speeches that are there available are quite inspirational. I think, you know, I congratulate you on what you've done so far and look forward to seeing more happening as we stay in touch. So where can people reach out and say thank you and get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, thank you. Thank you for having me. I think the key place is LinkedIn. So feel free to like reach out to me. And just if you mention in the invitation, you know, heard you on the podcast, and kind of if there's something specific, so more than happy. Also on Twitter. So I'm at James Eder. So that's J-A-M-E-S and then E-D-E-R. So feel free to, those are probably the preferred places. Look forward to being in touch. And
presumably we can find you on Causer as well.
Absolutely. And the context though, what's interesting about Causer is I've already had meetings with people. People have requested meetings with me and, you know, often do. And I'm very open and generally, you know, I try to be accommodating where I can. And, I ended up not being able to meet someone. It was from a specific agency, but then I logged on to Causer and they were, you know, within half, it was 500 meters. Okay. So the context as well from the app, you can't see, it's not on a map, but you can just see up to 250 meters away and then it carries on growing from there. And so I just sent them a message saying, hey, look, great to see you on the app. I've actually had a meeting move half an hour later. So I've got a half hour spot. You know, I know you wanted to meet, and I said, you know, not at the moment, but if you want to come and visit me, I'm at this place, feel free to come. And so within 20 minutes, we were then meeting, and that meeting otherwise wouldn't have happened had I not been on call. So, you know.
Great. All right. So finally then, who would you like me to interview on a future InnovaBus podcast and why?
So I have mentioned him. Oh, I was really torn. I'm really torn. People, but David Taylor, who published The Naked Leader, I think, you know, has been such an amazing part of my journey. And, you know, he's very he's very humble, and he kind of shares very much that it's not his message, it's a message, you know, imagine if you couldn't fail. And it's, but it's such a, you know, I think living by that and waking up every day thinking, right, if it's going to succeed, this is what I've got to do. And it's a great kind of mantra and kind of way that I live. I think he's been a great part of both my journeys so far. And I think, yeah, he'd be a great, great insight for your listeners. So David Taylor, the Naked Leader.
Excellent. All right. Well, David, we're coming to get you, courtesy of James Eder, for an interview on the InnovaBuzz podcast. So thanks so much, James, for sharing your time and your insights with us today on the InnovaBuzz podcast. And thank you also for reaching out to us and getting in touch. I've really enjoyed this. I've enjoyed learning about your ventures, particularly, you know, what we talked about today, the Beans Group and Causa. And I've learned a lot of things. There's a lot of great advice in this interview for everybody. So I'm hoping that others, the audience, enjoys this as much as I have. So I wish you all the best for the future of the Beans Group and for Causa, as well as the other things that you might be doing in the future. And let's keep in touch.
Cool, definitely. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Well, James certainly is passionate about what he is doing and about making a difference in this world. I hope you too enjoyed this interview as I did and learned much from it. All the show notes for this episode will be at innovabiz.com.au/James Eder. That is JamesEder. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.com.au/James Eder. That will have all the show notes as well as details of the challenge that I mentioned at the beginning. So what is that challenge? Well, for the next 21 days, every day, you should speak to one complete stranger, at least one stranger, every day. But not in a creepy way, no, by no means. The idea is to connect more people, and who knows what this might lead to. New business, new relationships, new opportunities, who knows? So go up to someone while waiting in line, or in an elevator, or at lunch, or when you're at work, and just go up to them and say, hey, I was listening to a podcast and the person on the other end from London said I should just go out and speak to one new person a day, so would you mind if I speak to you? And if they give you permission, then introduce yourself and ask, is there something you can help them with today? As James said in the interview, that's going to open up new doors and new opportunities. It's about just getting out there, being brave, and just breaking the ice and see where that goes. Now, I'm going to participate in this challenge as well, and that's going to take me way out of my comfort zone, because even though I can stand here and talk into the microphone to a pretty big audience, and I'm quite comfortable getting up and presenting in front of an audience, I'm the sort of person that gets into the elevator and stares up at the ceiling and looks at the wall. So this is going to take me out of my comfort zone as well, and you're going to hold me accountable to this challenge. So to be eligible for our prize now, and we'll work out later what that will be, but it will be awesome, I promise you. You need to post on Facebook and on Twitter, I spoke to another stranger today, with the hashtag New Connections. And of course, anything else you want to add there, like sharing what experience and what might have come out of that. Then report back in the comments below the blog post on your experiences. For the best experience, and I'll get James to come back and adjudicate that, we'll have an awesome prize. But for everybody participating in this, by connecting with new people, you'll be winning in any case. Why, let's not stop there. Let's make this a complete movement. Let's make this go viral on social media. Hashtag new connections. All right. That's exciting. Now, James suggested I interview David Taylor, who's the author of The Naked Leader, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. And remember, David is the one who James credited with asking that profound question, what if you couldn't fail? What would you do? Who would you be? Where would you go? So, David, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from me to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of James Eder. I really appreciate you all listening. Pop on over to iTunes or Stitcher or Pocket Casts or whatever your favorite podcast consuming app is and subscribe so you'll never miss a future episode. And of course, if you like what we're doing here, then we really would love for you to leave us a review, particularly on iTunes, because the reviews on iTunes help us get found and your feedback helps us to improve. Now, if there's anything you'd like us to cover or questions you want us to address on future InnovaBuzz podcasts, then send them to us. Now go make some new connections. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.